Good evening. We're going to open up to Romans chapter 1 this evening. I'm going to start in verse 14. We're currently taking a class on Romans, so if Brother Brunk will take it easy on me while I'm up here. I start in verse 14. We're told in the book of Romans, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight, Father. And Lord, your Holy Spirit is our great teacher, Lord, and I hope that I will be filled with him, and that the teaching tonight will be from you and not from myself, Lord. And it is a great privilege to be teaching this flock while the pastor's out, Lord. It is a great responsibility, and I thank you so much for it, Father. And I hope that you will take care of the pastor and the rest of the team while they're in Papua New Guinea, Lord, and wherever they are, give them health, give them safety, and please get them to where they need to be without hindrance, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to look at a letter from Paul to the Roman church. So I was reading through this scripture, and we actually hit it in Brother Brunk's class, but one of my favorite books, if you're at the Valentine's party or celebration, what have you, if you were there here over at the gym, one of my answers to the question was my favorite book is the book of Romans. I absolutely love it because when I was saved, one of the books we were going over was the book of Romans. I came from the Catholic Church, and I had never heard of grace. I did not understand what that was because most of you know the Catholic beliefs are that works equals salvation. And so I did not understand the law of grace. And so when I finally understood what grace was, Romans became very important to me because grace absolutely is necessary for salvation. And so I have a love for the book of Romans, but also Paul is one of my favorites. He is a hero of our faith, that is for sure. But tonight we're looking at Romans, and I have there's a burden that I have that I see all the time, and I love to listen to apologetics, and I love to learn apologetics, and I absolutely enjoy a lot of things that defend our faith. But there's a few key issues that you hear these apologetics get off on that we also, I think, get off on as Christians with what is our attitude and our actions that we're supposed to have in a world which has a darkened heart, they are the fools that have said that there is no God at this point. We're dealing with a generation that is a result of another generation and another generation, which has taught them to squander the very conscience that God has given them. And so we're not dealing with just one generation that has fallen out. That happened a long time ago. I mean, starting even in the 1920s, you can look at the most recent with Dr. Spock and all those telling them, don't tell your children no. Let their heart be their guide. The Disney generation. I know, I might be in trouble with a few children talking against Disney. Let your heart be your guide. But we're dealing with generations that have spent time squashing that conscience that God has given us. Romans 2 tells us there's evidence of that in us. When God created us, he gave us a conscience, the right and wrong. That's why the lost man can do the things that are in the law, but he is not of the law, because the conscience that God gave him exists in him. And so how do you interact with a generation like this? And we see it happen in politics mainly. We see the Democrats and the Republicans. And I'm as guilty as many out there that there's no political party that is godly. There's not one. I know I was thrilled when Trump was elected. And maybe carnally so, because he was going to go in and mix things up. And it just was going to be exciting. But when President Trump when he makes a law or he puts something into action, that's President Trump. We have to look at it with discernment as a man who is lost, putting a law into action. Just because he does something doesn't mean we should clap and cheer on the spot. That does not mean that at all. Nor should we celebrate when our other party has been defeated. There's no victory there yet. I know God puts the kings and the powers to be in place, but we are to have discernment. We're not to just jump in the boat with them. We need to make sure that we are in the boat with God when we make decisions. And so as we go out and we witness into a world that has these things going on in it with the darkened hearts. Oh, the mic is not on. I've never seen that sign. I've heard about it. Here we go. There we go. I was wondering what that was. I thought maybe we had some picketers here. That would have been fun. But how do we convince a world that has forgotten God long ago? How do we convince them? So you study up. You learn how to defend the faith. You learn how to correctly defend yourself as a Christian. You know, we're going to defend ourselves against evolution. We're going to defend ourselves against godlessness. We're going to defend ourselves against the Democratic Party. All of these things that we learn to defend ourselves against, but in the end, are we doing what we're supposed to? And so we're going to look at what Paul tells us. And, of course, the pinnacle verse in all this is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So Paul starts out before this, though, saying that he is a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Paul understood that his debt did not come just to those who he thought were willing to listen. It came to everyone, the wise and the unwise, the Jews, the barbarians, the Gentiles. It did not matter who it was. Paul was going to preach the gospel. And so as Paul goes out, and he desired to go to the Roman church. He had not been there yet, but he had a great desire to go. And, of course, he was held up doing many other things. This was not his first missionary journey he was on. He had been on a lot of trips. He had seen a lot of things. He was a man who was experienced in defending the faith. But as we try to defend God in a world where God has been forgotten and squandered, it's kind of like, it reminded me of right now with the team that's in Papua New Guinea. And the team, and when I would go out on teams with the military, TDY, and we would go to a foreign country that didn't recognize United States money. Well, what do I carry with me everywhere? United States money. And so we would go into these countries, and a lot of times Americans were arrogant, and we think that they speak English and that they accept American money. That's not the case. Jacob's going to find that out soon. Oh, Greg's not here. And so is Josiah. Not everybody speaks English or accepts American money. But it was like this one time that happened to me. I was in a market in Turkey, and I was far away from any other Americans. In fact, we were a novelty item at that time because we were the only white people wandering around. And so everybody knew that we were there, but while we were there, I wanted to purchase a gift for my wife. And so I reached in my wallet to buy it. All I had was American money. And this is good. Well, down south around the base, that was good. But where I was at, I was too far out. They didn't recognize it. So how at that point did I convince him that this American money was good? It was worth something. He didn't understand. Because to him, it was valueless. It didn't have any value to him. But to me, it did, because I understood what it was. And so you say, how do you convince someone of the value of that money when I was going to hand it to them? I couldn't, because they completely denied the existence of what it was that gave it value, and that was the United States. They denied it. They did not care at all. And so I could have stood there and told them, you know, this is the width, the height, the weight, all this. But all of it relied on the promise of the fulfillment of the United States to give him in return what he wanted. And he didn't trust it. So how do you go to a nation or a people or your work centers or your offices or day-to-day, wherever you are, how do you go somewhere where they don't accept that gospel is something that has value? Because they don't understand that God has value. They've been squashed by generations telling them over and over that conscience of yours need to be pushed down a little bit. Whatever it may be, alcohol, drugs, TV, music, whatever will squash it. Get it away, because no is bad. Feeling bad is wrong, and people who make you feel bad are wrong. How do you defend your gospel against the country that says these things? So Paul tells us, as he starts out in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." So you as yourself, what is your preparation? And fortunately, Scripture explains to us and gives us definitions of words that we might not fully understand that we think we do. So if we turn to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 5, Paul elaborates as he goes through Romans explaining what grace is, explaining how important that is, exactly what it looks like when it's rejected and when it's accepted. So in chapter 5, verse 5, we're told, "And hope maketh not ashamed." Hope makes you not ashamed. So as we look at Romans 1:16 now, we can see that Paul's not ashamed because he has hope in the power of the gospel. Absolute hope in the power of the gospel to reach what he was talking about in verse 14. The barbarians, the Gentiles, the Jews, the simple, the wise, whoever it may be, he believed that the gospel was sufficient for salvation and he didn't need anything else. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad that we learn how to defend ourselves against evolution, that we learn how to defend ourselves against godlessness, that we learn how to defend ourselves against all of those things that come at us every day. That's not bad. But the point is not get into contention with the lost people. The point is to convert the lost people. You're not going to convert anyone by arguing. That's exactly why Bill Nye, if you've never seen this, Bill Nye and Ken Ham, they had a debate where he invited them to the Institute of Creation Research and they debated over evolution and they debated over creationism. It was a really, really good debate for the believer. It was edifying. You can listen to that debate and you go, wow, it is clear that God exists and that He created the world. But guess what? Bill Nye left there just as lost as he came. He never got the gospel in that entire message. So there are all these doctrinal truths that we can present to unbelievers. There are all these things. We can tell them, you know, here's how you get properly baptized. Here's how you go to church. Here's how you dress right. Here's the Bible you carry. Here's everything you should do. We're trying to modify behavior, not modify their soul. That's God's job, not ours. And when you do that, if you're showing that you don't have hope that the gospel message is enough to change them. You don't believe that the power of God is sufficient to convert the soul of that person because they're so far gone. And that's exactly where Satan would want us to sit, comfortably in our spot, saying, you know what, we can't reach them. It's not sufficient. And that's a dangerous spot to be. And so when Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," he meant it. It was the hope he had in the gospel. So if you don't have that hope in the gospel, why not? In chapter 5, you can look back and see where that hope came from. He says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Christian, you are not going to get the hope you need until you've seen it happen. There's a reason you go out knocking on doors. There's a reason that you take pastor's soul winning class. It's not just about the lost person getting converted. It's about building you as a Christian. Do you realize the power that you have when you hand somebody a gospel tract? That's not you. You're giving them the power of salvation. And so many times we dismiss that because we think, you know what? That person's a homosexual. They'll never change. That's a sin they can't be converted from. That's not the right frame of mind we need to be in. And so Paul's confidence comes from his hope, and his hope comes from his experience, and his experience comes from working. You have to remain busy in the things of God, and your hope will increase. And so if we look at Proverbs 9:7, that'll go exactly where I'm trying to get to the point with. We're just going to read one piece, but Proverbs, over and over, you can read sections that elaborate on this and point to the same thing. In Proverbs 9:7, we're told, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot." But in Jude, we're told to contend for the faith. But there we're told contention is going to be a mark against you. So let's look at Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. See, Christian, the point is that though we are to contend for the faith, we are not to contend for our pride to show that we're right doctrinally. It doesn't matter that the SDA worship on a different Sabbath than us when they're going to hell. Convincing them Sunday's the Sabbath isn't going to get them into heaven. Convincing a Mormon that there's one God and there's one day that we should worship isn't going to get them to heaven until they worship that God. It's not the doctrinal truths that are going to get them there. That comes afterwards. That's a secondary part of salvation, is you're going to start to read and get the doctrinal truths. It's the gospel message that will get them saved. And Paul knew that. He had been so many places, and he had preached outside of so many synagogues. And you know who he saw saved? All those who heard the gospel message every single time. And later he calls it my gospel message. It's personal. It's a personal message of how God saved you and how God is going to save them personally. And it's beautiful. And only by grace does that happen. That's why Romans is a wonderful book, because by grace we are going to be saved. So we're going to continue into verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written there. Written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, we're told in 17 that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the faith that we have in Him. And it happens and it is revealed in your life through your faith in God. You are the source on this earth of the righteousness that will be seen of God by other people in your life. You are the righteousness that fulfills the law because of grace. You have to explain to them exactly why they need God. The conviction of the law is amazing for getting someone to understand why grace is important. But if you leave it at just the conviction, as I've seen so many people do, if you leave it at the conviction and you walk away, they're nothing more than guilty. That's all you've done. You've walked up in the courtroom and told the criminal he's guilty. You have to tell him how to get saved out of that prison sentence that he's facing. Until then, it doesn't matter. And Paul knows that. And Paul is telling us that we have to get that message across. I hope that's becoming clear. And so, in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have to continue. There's a semicolon. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. Now we're being explained there. That, remember, the Bible is written mostly to believers, to warn unbelievers. The Bible is written to us, to build us. We're not to use Scripture as a weapon to take down the sinner and to drag them in the dirt. We're to use the Scripture as a tool to lift them up to salvation. And so as we look at verse 18 and 19, so many times we get caught up in, yeah, that's them. That's them right there. Because, you know, they have ungodliness and they have unrighteousness of men. And they know that God exists, because we're going to be told that in verse 20. But what is that? That's a call to you to understand that these people exist. That's a call to you. Paul is laying out the burden that he already explained when he started. He desired to go to the church of Rome, not just because there were believers there, but because there were unbelievers he needed to reach. And so as he looks at 18 and 19, we see that the wrath of God is pending for this person. And so many times we hear the analogy of, if the building was on fire, would you tell them? And we start to get kind of immune to the passion that we should have for that salvation. And so Paul is telling us, you need to remember, it's not just about you feeling righteous in the sharing of your faith. That's not what it's about. This is a soul that is going to have the wrath of God poured out on them on Judgment Day. And so I try to imagine myself locking eyes with someone who I know is lost on Judgment Day as they look at me and they go, why? I sat right next to you and you never told me. And you start to peek and see the value of a human soul that God has for each one of us. Not just the saved, the unsaved. We are valuable to Him. And whether or not we choose Him is another thing. But we are to always give that opportunity of the choice to them, not just to crush them. And so the ungodliness and unrighteousness will have the wrath of God against them. And we look in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's flip to John 3:20. Let's get a picture of the sinner, the lost man, should clarify. John 3:20. We're told, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, that when you start sharing the gospel with somebody, is you're prodding something that they don't want alive inside of themselves. So you're going to get anger. You're going to get somebody who's going to start to snarl a bit at you. They're going to get upset. I know this because I wasn't saved until I was an adult. I understand what it is. Ask my wife when she tried to share the gospel with me. I snarled. Before we were married and she tried to witness to me, I got mad. And the reason isn't because I hate her. It was I hated the message she was giving me. And that thing that she was tapping into, that very conscience of myself that she was tapping into, was right there in John 3:20. She was putting light right on that situation I did not want light on. People you're sharing the gospel with don't want that light on that situation in their life. They don't want that light on that sin. But when you provide it, you're doing what is good, what needs to happen. And don't sit back and pull yourself off of it. And when they get angry, remember, don't get prideful. Don't start to argue for the sake of being right. Start to contend because of the faith. Start to contend because of the faith. Contend with them as a lost person who needs Jesus Christ. Don't worry about your own pride and your own self. You're going to get marred. Jesus warns us that before we were hated, he was hated. You need to remember that. That it's not about your reputation. It's about the salvation of a human soul. And so, as you go back into your workplaces or back home or you go out soul winning or knocking on doors or whatever it may be, the thing I hope that you get across from here is that Paul is trying to reach you. Paul is trying to get the message across that salvation comes from the gospel only. Only. You can teach the evolutionist creation was real. You can teach the sinner their ways are wrong. You can tell them to stop wearing pants. You can tell them to carry a King James Bible. You can tell them that triune immersion is wrong. It's single immersion. You can tell them to get, you know, all sorts of ways that mimic the ways that a Christian are going to behave. Do not go for the behavior. Don't focus on that. Focus on the condition of their soul, which is lost. Afterwards, take them and show them how their behavior is going to be modified. Don't try to do it beforehand. A lost person is going to act like a lost person. A saved person needs to act like a saved person. Squash the pride. Get it out of the picture. Learn how to defend the faith for the sake of defending an opportunity to present Jesus Christ to somebody. Because in the end, if you try to give them something that's just going to, you know, something that's just going to squash their argument, you never gave the gospel. You're going to walk away never giving the gospel to them. And you're actually going to shut down an opportunity to witness to them in the future. You have to remember how important that gospel message is. And if you don't have hope that it's going to happen, work on that. Get out there with somebody who's doing this. The best thing I've done is gotten with men who are far beyond my abilities. You get with them, and it will be a struggle. But as you're with them and you sit there, and like with Pastor or one of the other men, and you see them witness, and somebody is led to the Lord right there, you want to talk about your hope increasing. It's going to go up drastically that day. Because I've got to sit there with men who really were giants spiritually compared to me. And I got to hear them give the gospel effectively. And I got to see the look, the change in countenance on the other person's face I never thought was possible because of their because of their life. I never would have thought it was possible. But because of the gospel, I started to see that's the power. That's the power. And then as you go through Romans, you see that really is the power. We've got to get them to the grace. Not to the point where they realize they're wrong. Get them to the grace. And so our debt is not just to those that look like they're easy to get it to either. Our debt is to everyone. Everyone in Romans 14 we're told. You need to get it to every single person. as I was out, I had to go do PT, and I was at the gym. You know, I was just running, you know, and there's a radio station I really like to listen to. I won't put a plug in for it, but he's really good at preaching, and I enjoy listening to it. But as I was sitting there listening to it, ironically, he's talking about how to witness to lost people. And I'm sitting there, and I look up, and I see this girl with a shaved head, and she has a tattoo of a goat thing on her arm, which automatically you assume it's some sort of satanic thing with flames and things coming out of it, and her head's shaved. She's dressed like a man. And you look at her, and you know what the first thing was I thought? That's too far gone. And I was sitting there listening to that right there. But we condition ourselves. That's too far gone. That's too hard. But what do? All you can do is give the power of God. That's all you can do. And when I say all you can do, that is everything you can do. God will change that person. It's not your job. You don't have to do the work. There's not an amount that you have to work them up to before God says, now I've met them and I'll take them. There's not a condition He's waiting for where you're going to convince them, you know what, you've cleaned up enough, come on in. And that's exactly the perception people have of us as a church, is that they need to clean up before they come in. No, you don't embrace their sin. You embrace them as someone who can be saved and let them know that. That's exactly what they want to hear. They don't know it, but that's exactly what they want to hear. And so our debt is to each one of them. And we are to defend the faith adamantly, but it's the faith we defend, not ourselves, and not our argument, and not our pride. And when you look at that next person that you see, and you look at them, and they look like someone that you will never, ever be able to reach, just remember, the gospel will reach them. The gospel will reach them. So how well do you know it? Paul called it my gospel. He knew it so well, he was personal about it. He knew exactly what Jesus Christ had done for him as a man. Share your message of what Jesus Christ did to you with His grace and His mercy. That's all they need to hear. Because inside, that Romans 2, that little conscience inside of them is begging for peace with God, Romans 5:1. They want peace with God. And they either have to continue squashing that conscience or they have to embrace the peace that they can have with God. Show them how good the other side is. Don't show them contention and contempt that a church would have for them. Father, I thank You very much for Your word tonight, Lord.